Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. On Thursday morning, a 15-foot wooden Trojan horse symbolizing a rally against the privatization of health services in Ontario visited Kingston Health Sciences Centre. Kingston is just the latest stop on the horse's province-wide tour. Part of QP's Ontario Council of Hospital Unions, OCHU, and the Ontario Health Coalition's efforts to be heard by the provincial government. With this protest, OCHU and the Ontario Health Coalition are, quote, calling for an end to the privatization of hospital surgeries and diagnostic tests, and demanding the government invest in staffing and capacity in public hospitals, end quote. The Ford government has been moving towards providing more private healthcare options for a number of years, passing the Your Health Act, allowing private clinics to conduct more OHIP-covered surgeries in 2023 with the goal of reducing wait times. In public statements, they have continued to reassure that quality and safety checks are in place, and the bill itself requires private clinics to show they have a, quote, sustainable staffing model in place. I sat down with Sharon Richer, Secretary-Treasurer of OCHU, to discuss the Trojan Horse's visit to Kingston. So to start us off, what is this Trojan Horse tour and what does it represent?
So we have actually been on the Trojan Horse tour for about 4 weeks now. And in Greek mythology, the Greeks actually presented a very similar horse to the one that we have today. And it's a giant wooden horse to the city of Troy as a gesture, really, of peace after a long war. In the dead of night, the Greeks broke out of the Trojan Horse and annihilated the city. And the city actually no longer exists today. And we're saying that this actually represents what the conservative government's policies on privatization represent. They're telling Ontarians that this is a gift that they're bringing them because it'll lower wait times, it'll end hallway medicine, the staffing crisis will be averted from the hospitals. And this is really not really true about what is happening. So that's what we're saying, that this symbol of the Trojan horses.
Yeah, thank you. And I mean, in Kingston, we've been seeing rallying against privatization for quite some time now, especially our last few updates were through research and reports that were presented. This feels like kind of a different strategy. What was this born out of?
Well, it is to continue to highlight the policy that the government's put in last year. And, you know, we want Ontarians to know that once these services are being removed from the public hospitals, it'll be really difficult for us to get back. You know, privatization really is redirecting the money and staffing from our public hospitals to private for-profit clinics, where, you know, people are making money off our taxpayers' dollars, in which were to be funded these public hospitals, and they're going to these private clinics.
I remember in the last few months with the research and the reports that were presented, there hadn't been much of a response. Have you heard any response to this so far on your tour across Ontario or in Kingston specifically?
No, not from the government or the hospital today.
Or any local officials, nothing like that?
No, nothing.
Okay, thank you. And how was turnout this morning? Who was present for this?
Oh, it was really great. So we have the Kingston Health Coalition. They were in attendance, and obviously we were at Hotel Dieu, and we were at the general site where, you know, employees came out. Many people stopped and took a picture, obviously, of the horse and listened to our rally. And, you know, people are quite interested to know the amount of money that is actually going in to these private clinics, which should have been really filtered back into our public hospitals.
Yeah, and you mentioned there some folks stopped by to see what was going on. What kind of feedback did you get from passersby?
Actually, people were thanking us for the information that we were bringing them. They thought the speeches were very knowledgeable. And, you know, we're encouraging people to go back and speak to family members and their neighbors and, you know, really making this a number one issue when the election does get called. And, you know, applying pressure to this conservative government. We know that when he feels pressured or backed into a corner, he often rethinks the idea, and sometimes he reverts back. And I think in this particular case, if Ontarians, you know, called their MPPs and spoke to them about healthcare, and, you know, we really started applying some pressure, I think the Ford government might actually look at these licenses and, you know, start to think that they're probably not necessary, and to start feeding money, the $2 billion that goes into these private clinics annually, back into the public hospitals. And then they can really deal with the wait times, the hallway medicine that is happening, the staffing shortage and the crisis that we're seeing across this province, and, you know, encourage people to come back to the occupations of RPN and, you know, other professionals that work in the hospital.
As Richard stated, the Ontario government has not issued a direct response to their protests. When asked for comment by CFRC, spokesperson for the Minister of Health, Hannah Jensen, provided a response, stating, quote, "Our government has made record investments in our publicly funded healthcare system to connect more people to the care they need when they need it," end quote. The statement points to many notable facts and figures, including an increase to the healthcare budget by over 31% since 2018, with the Ford government investing over $85 billion into the system this year alone. The province also increased their investment across the hospital sector by 4% for a record 2 years in a row. The statement finished with, quote, "The actions our government is taking have led Ontario to achieve some of the shortest wait times in Canada, with nearly 80% of people receiving their procedure within clinically recommended target times," end quote. The Trojan Horse will continue its journey across the province throughout the coming weeks. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Hello everyone, this is Ali Safadi, CFRC's campus news reporter. Today, we have a powerful topic revolving around the scholar strike happening nationwide and on our campus. On November 13th, 2024, students, faculty, and staff gathered outside Richardson Hall for the All Workers Walkout for Palestine, organized by Labor for Palestine in Kingston. This demonstration was part of a broader nationwide action led by Scholar Strike Canada. The walkout aimed to show solidarity with Palestinians, as well as protesting the financial and moral ties Queen's University maintains with companies involved in arms manufacturing linked to the Israeli military. Scholar Strike Canada has spearheaded a two-day labor action across Canadian campuses to protest not only the genocide in Gaza, but also the growing anti-Palestinian repression seen on campuses nationwide. On November 12th and 13th, participants are holding teach-ins, protests, and other gatherings, creating spaces for critical dialogue on issues of academic freedom, anti-Palestinian racism, and the militarization of universities. For students, faculty, staff, alumni, this protest represents a growing resistance to university policies they view as complicit in international injustices. Here in Kingston, on the Queen's University campus, the All Workers Walkout drew large crowds with individuals holding signs that read, "While we are learning, Gaza is burning." The powerful words on these signs captured the sentiments of many in attendance who are against that Queen's financial investments directly support weapons manufacturing linked to the ongoing occupation in Palestine. According to Labor for Palestine Kingston, the walkout is a call for Queen's to divest from all companies involved in the arms production tied to Israel's war machinery. To gain more insight into the motivations behind the All Workers Walkout, we spoke with an organizer from Labor for Palestine Kingston who shared their perspective on why this movement has gained momentum and what they hope to achieve through actions like these.
So Labor for Palestine Katarakwe organized this walkout. It was an answer to the call from Scholar Strike Canada. They were basically asking for a two-day scholar strike where all workers would strike against their employers, as well as students and everyone, to specifically name and call that they are striking for Palestine and for Palestinian people, and to shed light on the genocide that is happening right now. So Scholar Strike Canada has had many, many teach-ins online, and they were live streaming them all over on YouTube. And also Labor for Palestine Karakwe had a teach-in as well on the 12th of November. And it basically featured faculty and grad student to speak about the repression and the continuous oppression of free speech on campuses that we're seeing take place all over Queen's University as well as other campuses Canada-wide. The university is actually, I believe, might never actually recognize this as a genocide, because our university, unfortunately, Queen's University specifically, have chosen the side of neutrality, and they have already said this. But one of the main things that many of the students and many of the workers are asking for is for Queen's to divest its funding and its investments from companies that are aiding and investing in apartheid and occupation of the Palestinian territories.
The walkout wasn't just a gathering for students and faculty. It was a call for all workers on campus to stand in solidarity. Protest organizers encouraged TAs, RAs, faculty, and staff to walk out of their classrooms and join the rally. Some faculty members even brought their classes to the event, demonstrating a commitment to both labor justice and solidarity with the Palestinian struggle. Signs were held high, and Palestinian flags waved throughout the crowd as speakers took to the microphone. In a powerful speech, a faculty member addressed the group, saying, "Us workers who sell our labor to make a living are human beings. We can't check out our identities as we enter our workspaces. Our identity is our humanity, and we cannot be stripped of that." The faculty members' words highlighted the core of the protest, the belief that labor rights and human rights are inseparable, and that Queen's University's refusal to divest is a direct violation of those principles. The protest was not without disruption. Agitators appeared on the scene, some filming the crowd, while one individual reportedly made offensive gestures linked to the Nazi symbolism. Another called campus security, but with no violations of university policies, security was unable to take action against the protesters. Now we turn to Jake Morrow, the president of PSAC 901.
You're here with Jake Morrow. I'm the president of PSAC 901. That's the Public Service Alliance of Canada, Local 901. We represent nearly 2,000 workers, over 2,000 workers at Queen's University. That's academic workers, graduate student workers, TAs, research assistants, teaching fellows, as well as postdoctoral scholars. Public Service Alliance of Canada stands in solidarity with efforts of scholars organizing across Turtle Island and all over the globe in protest of racist institutions and policies that target Palestinian students, Palestinian workers, and their allies at these institutions. We have long made clear our position. We are a signatory to the Queen's University Apartheid Divest Coalition's letter. We have put out several statements condemning the university's investment in genocide, in weapons of war, in fossil fuels. We're here today standing in solidarity with those organizing on campus for the scholar strike walkout here at Queen's. Labor for Palestine in Kingston, it's a group organized by rank and file members, by workers in various unions across Kingston. Members in our own union recently voted to strike a Labor for Palestine working group specifically in the local, so that there is there's some infrastructure in there to figure out how best to stand in solidarity, how best to push our employer to divest from genocide. And so our connection to Labor for Palestine is that our members are a part of it, as our members of unions all across this university, all across this city, all across Turtle Island. So this is a labor issue. Oftentimes people try to speak about anti-genocide activism, about anti-war activism, about all sorts of activisms as separate from labor issues. They are not. We have many workers on campus who are here at Queen's University as the university is investing in systems, in companies, in an entire system that is literally killing their families. this is not a separate issue. We have many members who have come forward with complaints of anti-Palestinian racism, of Islamophobia, of anti-Semitism in connection with how the university frames this genocide. This is something that is affecting people's work here. If your employer is bombing your family members, you cannot do your best work. This is a workplace issue. We have always treated it as one, and we will continue to.
The collective voice of the protesters was unwavering. As Labor for Palestine Kingston posted on their Instagram, no amount of intimidation from university administration will stop the struggle for liberation from Turtle Island to Palestine and everywhere in between. We will not stop, we will not rest. This statement reflects a broader conviction within the movement that their resistance will continue until their demands for divestment and justice are met. With the strike continuing through November 13th, organizers and participants see this as only the beginning. The All Workers Walkout for Palestine represents not just a protest against the university policies, but a broader call for systemic change. As always, thank you everyone for listening. This was Ali Safadi, CFRC's Campus News Reporter. Make sure to tune in, stay informed, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, CFRC listeners. I'm Isabella Garrido, your CFRC sports reporter, and welcome to this week's edition of the CFRC Sports Desk, go-to source for all things Queens athletics. Here's a rundown of the highlights from this past weekend. Start with a historic moment in Queens men's cross country. The Gaels claim their first youth sports national title since 1984. With Jude Wheeler-Dee leading the charge, Wheeler-Dee, a chemistry student, finished 13th overall with a time of 23:49, earning a U Sports second team All-Canadian honor for his efforts. A huge congratulations to the team for this incredible achievement. On the women's side, Alicia Alkerton also earned a U Sports second team All-Canadian selection, finishing 13th in the women's race with a time of 27:39. Helping Queens secure fifth place at the national championship. Shifting to hockey, Nolan Hutchinson continues to light up the scoreboard for Queens men's hockey. Hutchinson, a health studies student, scored a hat trick and added an assist in a dominant 6-2 win over the Carleton Ravens on Friday night. He currently leads the OUA with 10 goals. The Gaels are on the road next weekend visiting the York Lions and Ontario Tech Ridgebacks. Michaela Cranny of Queens Women's Hockey also had an outstanding weekend. The arts and science student notched a goal against the Toronto Varsity Blues and added 3 assists in a 6-1 win over TMU Bolt. The Gaels will be back at the Memorial Centre this weekend, hosting Toronto on Friday and Carleton on Saturday. Queens Women's Volleyball has been on a roll, securing their third straight win with a sweep of the Windsor Lancers 25-16, 25-21, and 25-20. Hannah Ducheneau had a standout performance, contributing 15 points, including 14 kills. Gaels will look to continue their winning streak as they host Waterloo this weekend. Lastly, Queens men's and women's basketball will take on the Waterloo Warriors this Friday, November 15th, with the men tipping off at 6 p.m., followed by the women's team at 8 p.m. Be sure to get out and support your Gaels! That wraps up your CFRC Sports Desk update. For more information and to grab tickets for upcoming games, visit the Queens Gaels website. Now I'll throw it over to Christina Lorre for your weather report. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Isabella. This is Christina coming in with your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight we're expecting clear skies with a low of -1 and wind chill -7 overnight. Tomorrow, on Thursday, November 14th, we're expecting increasing cloudiness in the morning. We'll have a high of +5 with a UV index of 2 or low. On Thursday night, cloudy skies with a low of 0 degrees. On Friday, November 15th, we're expecting sunny skies with a high of 8, then Friday night, clear skies with a low of -2. Looking forward to the weekend, on Saturday, November 16th, we're expecting sunny skies with a high of 10, then Saturday night, clear skies with a low of -5. Finishing off the week on Sunday, November 17th, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 9 degrees, and Sunday night, cloudy periods with a 30% chance of showers and a low of +5. That wraps up your quick weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC traffic report with Jesse Bell.
This is the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, November 11th, 2024. We'll begin with some specific Remembrance Day-related road closures. Baggett Street, Berry to West, will be closed from 10 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. Berry Street, King to Stewart, will be closed from 10:20 a.m. to 12 p.m. King Street, Berry to West, will be closed from 10:20 a.m. to 12 p.m. King Street, Lower University to Berry, will be closed from 8:15 a.m. to 12 p.m. And Ontario Street, Berry to West, will be closed from 11 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. in observance of annual Remembrance Day ceremonies. Here are some other road closures you should be aware of this week. Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 to Middle, will be closed to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Albert Street, Earl to Union, is closed until November 19th for servicing works. A reminder that Princess to 486 Albert Street is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction and staging at 484 Albert Street. Collingwood Street, Earl to Union, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Dufferin, Baggett to Rideau, is closed until November 13th for servicing work. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, is closed to accommodate a water main replacement. Old Colony Road, Taylor Kidd to Brayside, is closed November 11th to 14th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day for the decommissioning of booster stations. Union Street, Willingdon to Albert, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. And University Avenue, Union to Earl, is closed for construction related to activity at the Queen's John Deutsch University Center project. Here are some other delays to keep an eye on this week. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins Phase 2 of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles to Edwin and Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes Phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal updates, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. MacDonald Boulevard at Elmwood, expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. MacDonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road. And that is your traffic report for the week of Monday, November 11th, 2024.
Now it's time for your CFRC Community Events Calendar. Starting off with events tonight, the Grad Club is hosting the Be Kind Rewind Drag Celebration of the 90s, featuring performances from some of your favorite local drag entertainers, as well as music videos. Show off your knowledge with 90s trivia and your footbag skills with a hacky sack contest. The fun starts at 8 p.m. and tickets are $12. Daft Brewing will also be hosting their Drag Bingo with Rowena Way starting at 7:30 tonight. Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will host their trivia night starting at 7 p.m. and One Eye Jacks will host North End Board Games Night for free starting at 7. On Thursday, November 14th, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. You can also head out to the Kingston Community Center, which will host the weekly Penguin Senior Social Club for individuals 55 plus from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Head over with your runners to Runner's Choice for the weekly Out in Front running group for 2S LGBTQ plus runners ready to run at 6:15 p.m. for 5 to 6 kilometers, followed by a post-run social. And of course, the Grad Club is running its free and hugely popular weekly trivia night every Thursday starting at 8 p.m. On Friday, November 15th, the YMCA will host its weekly Fresh Food Market from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., a great opportunity to get fresh food at great prices. The Grad Club will also host a Hypnotic Bar Experience, a live comedy show with hypnotist Albert Nirenberg, starting at 8 p.m. On Saturday, November 16th, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Folks can explore the art of nature at the Moss Art Workshop at the Tet Center for Creativity and Learning from 9 to 12, led by Laura Moses. Tickets are $55. Folks can also attend A Taste of Indigenous Canada, a winter celebration, hosted by True North Aid on Saturday, November 16th. featuring Indigenous artisans, tasty Indigenous food, and an engaging interactive learning experience, and talk by acclaimed author Dr. Dave Anderson. The event runs from 10 to 1 at 690 Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard. Finally, finishing off the week on Sunday, November 17th, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. From 11 to 3, you can head out to the Italo Canadian Club for the Castagnata Christmas Market featuring local vendors, roasted chestnuts, and refreshments. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m., featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Next up is your concerts calendar with Noah.
And now it's time for the CFRC concerts calendar for this week. This Wednesday the 13th, Be Kind and Rewind, a drag tribute to the 90s, is happening from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Grad Club. Admission is $11.98 to $15. If you feel like taking the stage, come over and visit the open mic at Hotel Wolf Island, a free show starting at 7 p.m. You can also head out to the Cove Inn from 5:30 to 8:30 for wings and tunes on the patio. Don't forget about karaoke at the Mansion starting at 9 p.m. Admission is free. Thursday the 14th, come check out the John McLurg Band from 7 to 10 p.m. for some early evening tunes at the RCHA. Admission is $5. Original Thursdays with Doc McLean returns to the Cove Inn from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Admission is $10. Take the ferry and head over to see Wedding and Cram Jefferson performing live at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 11:30. Admission is by donation. Red Wine, the ultimate party experience combining dance hall, Afrobeats, and amapiano vibes, take place at the Mansion from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Admission is $17.31. And feel free to stop by karaoke hosted by Jeremy Green live at the Royal Tavern 2.0 at 9 p.m. Admission is free. Friday the 15th, R&R Karaoke starts at 6 p.m. at a Pizza Pie and Cheese House. Admission is free. Emile Steele and The Deal, Dennis Bowman, and The Wild Roses celebrate the release of their new album at The Broom Factory, starting at 7:30 p.m. Admission is $22.63. Happy Hour TJIF with The Smoking Roosters is free this Friday at the club at the RCHA from 6 to 8 p.m. Then from 8 to 11 p.m. at the club at the RCHA, KBS presents The Gary Kendall Trio, a true stalwart of the Toronto blues scene. Admission is $30. Matt Dixon will perform a classic rock marathon starting at 5 p.m. at the Cove Inn. Admission is by donation. Thrasher, Hieronymus Harry, Matthew Dunn, all bands from Owen Sound in Toronto are performing from 8:30 to 11:30 at Hotel Wolf Island. Admission is $15. At 8:30, come see the Limestone Guardians drag show at the Modern Fuel Artist Run Center. Admission is $15. Citizen 3 with Peter Kopp, Jay Godun, and Scotty Dwyer will be live at the Old English Pub starting at 7:30 p.m. Admission is free. Starting at 5 p.m., the Black Rapids Crossfire will be live at the Royal Tavern 2.0, followed shortly after by Sweet Cheetah starting at 9 p.m. Admission is free. If you want to sing, come attend Open Mic with Michael George that'll be live at the Spearhead Brewery from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Admission is free. An event you won't want to miss, Candlelight, an event at the Spire featuring Vivaldi's Four Seasons and more starting at 6:30 p.m., followed shortly after by Candlelight, a tribute to Taylor Swift, will be live at the Spire starting at 8:45 p.m. Admission for each event is $25 to $40. Free for All Fridays with Music by Guido will take over Stage's Nightclub from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. The show comes with admission. The Celtic Kitchen Party will be live at Tiernan Og Irish Pub. Admission is free. The show runs from 9 p.m. to midnight. Saturday the 16th, Karis X Featurette will be live at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. Admission is $15. Heat Wave will be performing classics at the club at the RCHA starting at 8 p.m. Admission is $20. Local talent Scott Owen and Lee Francoeur will be performing at the Creekside Bar and Grill starting at 7 p.m. Admission is $10. The Daylight Savings Tour, Schoolhouse, ex Clay Hazy, ex Jade Hilton will be live at the Grad Club from 7:30 to 11:30. Admission is $15. Chris Coaster of the Glorious Sons will be performing at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 10:30. Admission is $30. The Viano String Quartet with Milos will be performing live at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. Admission is $15 to $72. From 1 to 2:30, Vibrant Voices, a song circle for two SLGBTQIA+ community and allies will be live at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. Admission is free. 2024, a sci-fi odyssey, music from famous science fiction classics will be live at the Kingston Grand Theater from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Admission is $10 to $52. A variety show by the North Frontenac Little Theater is fundraising featuring local talent at the Soldiers Memorial Hall at 3 p.m. Admission is by donation. Chrome Heart and Wayne Riley will be performing at the Spearhead Brewery from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is free. Following up at the Spearhead Brewery, Frank Ryan, a rock singer from Dublin, will be performing from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Admission is free. Experiment 1A, Tabula Rasa Laboratory, presented by Of the Sea Productions, will be performed at the Spire both Saturday and Sunday, starting at 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. respectively. Admission is $11.20. Later at the Spire, the Candlelight Tributes continue, starting with a tribute to Adele, starting live at 6:30 p.m. Admission is $25 to $40, and following up with a tribute to Coldplay and Imagine Dragons. The show will be starting at 8:45 p.m. Admission is the same price. Nicholas Campbell with the 2 Meter Cheaters and Emile Steele will be performing old school rock and roll starting at 7:30 p.m. at Margaret's Hall. Admission is $20 to $25. Powderfinger will be performing live at Tiernan Og from 9 p.m. to midnight. Admission is free. The Tone Cats will be performing classic rock at the Toucan starting at 10:30 p.m. Admission is free. Sunday the 17th, Shane Coisen will be performing at the Broom Factory at 7:30. Admission is $40. Sunday Fun Day, Chicken Pickens Matinee, a country music show, will be live at the Cove Inn from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is $10. Sundays with Eric and Megan returns at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. Admission is by donation. Grace Dixon will be performing at the Elm Cafe from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is by donation. The Killdeers, a local indie folk group, will perform at the McKinnon Brothers Brewery from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is free. The Ontario Festival of Small Halls with the Sky Diggers will take place at the Regent Theatre at 7:30 p.m. Admission is $56.50. Dave McGrath will be performing at the Spearhead Brewery from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Admission is free. Have a concert you would like to see listed on CFRC's website and announced on our airwaves? Reach out on our website contact page at cfrc.ca. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.